Hello and welcome to Reflections. I'm your girl Nadine Edwards. Thank you for joining. I hope as you listen today, you will be uplifted, inspired, motivated in your continued pursuit of becoming a better version of yourself. Today, I want to reflect with you the year when I decided to buy a home with zero savings. I'm going to share how it happened and then I share four reasons why it came through. It was the year 2008 when my landlord approached me that he needed the flat I was living in. He and his wife were living upstairs. They were seniors, perhaps in their 80s, and they needed to be on the downstairs because they had been living for years and they're aging and the staircase was going to become inaccessible for them after a while, which was understandable. So he gave me the option of either moving upstairs and paying a little more or moving out. And so because I was in my 11th year of always moving, because I started paying rent in the year 97, and every single year I had to move for whatever reason, whether the landlord needed to extend or whatever the reason, it's not that I was a bad tenant, because one thing with me, I pay my rent on time. I was not a party person where I bring friends. I was a loner, so I was not a person who always had friend and company. And so for whatever the reason, I always had to move every single year. So we're talking about 11 years of always packing up my furniture to move. Now, in the year 2008, by then, I was about 9 years in with my faith with God. And prior to this particular year, I've had miraculous and life-changing experience with God, knowing that he will not fail. But this was a big one, buying a house with no money. But I knew who he was and what he can do. And so I was at my breaking point and I said, no more rent house. I went on my knees and I prayed tearfully and I said, God, the cattle upon 1,000 hills belong to you. You said it in Psalm 50. If you were hungry, you would not tell me, because you are God. You own all things. I need a house. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I refuse to go into another rent house. And so every Sunday I was given deadline when to move. I think it was about 2 months or so, if not three. And every Sunday when I bought the newspaper, I refused to look under the section for rent. It was for sale. Remember, I tell you, I had no money. Now, when you're buying a house, you have to first look at your affordability. You have to find, in Jamaica then, between 10 to 20% down payment. I believe for the house I was identifying or looking to buy was on the open market, which I believe it was 15% for me at the time. So 15% was what I needed to find. Could I afford that 15%? No. So this is where God came in. Now you have to also think about the affordability of the mortgage. Could I afford the mortgage? No. Was there a way around that? Yes. Now, the next question you have to ask yourself, are you willing to make the sacrifices to pay the mortgage for a while? Because to buy a house takes a lot out of you. It sucks up your resources, and sometimes there are unforeseen expenses that come along the way. So you have to ask yourself if you're willing to give up a certain part of your lifestyle to deal with post-mortgage acquisition. So the deposit, that was on God. The affordability of the mortgage, now I thought of my sister. So it was on me now to find the deposit, because my sister never had such interest. The mortgage company in my country, they will give you X amount of millions within a certain pay bracket. So if your income is at a certain level, then you get a certain million for that bracket. And if you're higher, you get a higher amount for that higher bracket. So my sister was willing to apply for her portion of loan, because of course, who wouldn't jump on that, to own your own place and come out of rent house? But it was on me to find the money. But I know my God. I know who he was and what he can do. And so, like I said, I refused to look under for rent. I was looking for house to buy. One particular Sunday, after weeks of looking, I saw a housing development. I saw this company building a housing scheme, a gated community. And I said, this is it. It was out of town. It was miles away from where I was working, but that was not my concern. we take it one step at a time. When I get the place, then we adjust and figure out how I get to work. How about that? I circled the house and I said, God, this is what I need. This is the house I need. No, when you're buying the house, naturally you're going to call to find out all the steps involved in acquiring a home. So when you get all the paperwork, you look at it and you see what needs to be done. So what I did was check off what is easily attainable on my part, right? And then you also have to look at the in-between fees that go along the way. How manageable are they on your part? And what are the deadlines? Can you come up with the money within a certain time to meet these little fees? You'll find out all the details, ask all the questions. You do your check mark against all the steps involved. Your questions that you need to ask and every step involved in the acquisition from the moment you make the deposit to the moment you get the keys in your hand. I found out all the steps involved, right? I was working at the bank and as a staff, I was able to enjoy favorable interest rate on loans. So if the public paid 15%, staff members paid 4%. That's how favorable it was then. And another thing that was working for me too, where affordability was concerned after the house was acquired, I was able to enjoy mortgage subsidy. So the company, the bank that I was at, paid a certain percentage of their staff mortgages. So that was an excellent benefit that I could not allow to pass me by. So I needed this 15% deposit, but I have to find 20% of that loan to present at the bank, and they would have given me the remainder, 80%, so I could bring the full 15% to the office. So I needed to find, at the time I remember it was 200,000. And so I started making phone calls. I got a piece of paper or a sheet of paper rather. And I wrote down all the names, all the potential names of families and friends. And I called and I called. We're talking about 200,000 in the year 2008. That was a relatively large sum of money, I have to say. I exhausted the list. There was nobody that was able or willing to lend me $200,000. We're not talking about asking, lending this $200,000. And so I said, Lord, what am I going to do now? And one day, like days after exhausting the list, it's like God impressed upon me, why not ask you, Father? Now let me give you the backdrop as to why I never considered him in the first place. I left home in 95. Like I said, I started paying rent in 97. 95 was a relatively early year for me to be out on my own. But I had to because of the situation I was in. I am not going to blame everything on my father because I was not that very obedient child. Nevertheless, what happened to me was unfortunate. And because of that, I just never had any form of communication with my father since then. I just decided to face life on my own. By 99, when I met God, it was just me and God. And God was just there for me. And that's why to this day, I have to stay with him. Not that I don't slip up from time to time, but I take my walk with him very seriously. A lot of times we tend to think that God is aloof and he is someone we can just do as we please and just think that he's okay with it, and that God is real. He's a real person in the form of Jesus, with emotions, with a specific ideal for his children. So he is a God with a plan. Don't think that the world was made the way it is today. Sin came into a perfect world and messed things up. And so God had to mitigate against that. And he has placed in his words the steps that we his children need to take in order to be reconciled to that harmonious place again. And not everybody is willing to believe and to take those steps, but it's all real and all true. You just have to prove it for yourself. That aside, it was just me and God. But then he impressed upon me this particular day, why not ask your father? Now that thought never made sense because I haven't spoken to my father perhaps over 10, going 15 years. I don't remember the specific number, but it was a lot of years since I've made contact with my father. Now, at the time, I was in communication with my sister, and I remember her saying to me, "You're a Christian now, and if you're really serious about this kingdom that you talk about and this God that you say you serve, you cannot go to the God's kingdom, or you cannot make it to heaven with this kind of resentment or this unforgiving spirit." And I thought about what she said, and I thought it made sense. She was right. And many of us are walking around with unforgiveness on our hearts, and we make that resolve that we will never speak to that person ever again. And whenever that person's name come up, or we think on that person, it is just bitter feelings and hatred. And it only harms us, not the other person. It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It only harms us when we refuse to forgive someone for the harm that they have done us in the past. It hurts, and what they have done us is so wrong. But when we really think about it, salvation in and of itself is all about forgiveness. God forgave us for what we have done and took a death that he had no right in, so that we may live that we had no part in. This whole salvation is forgiveness, and God has forgiven me so many times. And this was the opportunity for me to break that ice. And this is how God cornered me, if you will. He says, "You gotta call your father." And I decided to make that phone call eventually. And I had small talk, and I said, "I need your help with something. I'm looking to buy a home, and I need $200,000 to get things going." And he asked, "So when do you need it by?" And I gave him a date. By the way, I was still trying to find other ways, still keeping my eyes open to see if I'd overlooked anyone to get help from. But there was still no one. It was my father that God had selected. Time was going, and I wasn't hearing anything from my father. And so I called him closer to the deadline, and I said, "My deadline is coming up. Can you help?" And I remember the day when he came to my workplace with a check in his hand, and he looked at me and handed me the check and said, "Good luck." I couldn't wait to get home that evening for all those years of resentment to just run off my chest like a river. I sat down, and it was like the moment was so liberating, I have to say. I said, "God, all those years of pain and resentment was just flowing off my heart like a river. I felt light. I felt free. I felt forgiven." And I was the one who did the forgiving. Anyways, I took the check to the bank, got the loan, paid on the house, and then everything began falling in place, I have to say. God was good. All the fees that came up, you don't have to see all the picture before you, because as you put your first leg forward or your first foot forward, things that you didn't see or contemplate will come into play. Because during that time when I was buying the house and the fees were coming up, overtime in my workplace came up for whatever reason, retro money for whatever reason came up, different things came up into play that brought extra money that I needed. And that is how God is. He will make ways where there seem to be none. Our business is to make the first move, knowing that He will not fail. Now I want to share with you four reasons I believe God brought that pursuit to success. One is that the need was there, and I was desperate about my need. I was desperate to find solution for the need that I had. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She had exhausted all her options, spent all her money, went to all the necessary specialists and doctors that she knew, and there was no help. Her only hope was Jesus. But she never lost her despair, according to one commentator. She never lost hope. She kept hope alive, and she just wanted an opportunity. And when Jesus was passing by, she pressed through with a determination that she's going to get what she needed that day. She pressed through. The crowd never mattered to her. It never mattered what they were going to say about her condition. It never mattered. When you need what you need, what people think does not matter to you. You press through to get what you know you need. Focus. Focus is very important. How bad do you need what you need? How desperate are you? I was desperate and I made up my mind. I was at my breaking point and I said, I need a house now. I need it. And then the second point I want to make is that see beyond the wall, see beyond the mountain. You don't have to see the way, like I said. Just make your move. Find out all the steps involved regarding what you need. Because when you check off what is manageable, it makes the mountain appear smaller. I looked at what I had control over and chipped away at what I could do. And then I asked myself, am I willing to make the necessary sacrifices to afford this? I was willing to join with my sister. Not everybody wants to join with family to handle the mortgage that was coming up. I was willing to cut back on my lifestyle. My wall at the time was no money. It looked impossible. How can this become affordable for me? God gave me the ability to think deeper than what was before me. And so I was able to see past the mountain. We must be able to see past our mountains. Look beyond the mountain. The third point was that you must be willing to follow instructions even when it doesn't make sense. Because if I never acted upon what God impressed upon my heart concerning my father, I would not have acquired that house. It never made sense to me. Again, if you listen to an earlier podcast that I made, Joshua and the children of Israel marched around the wall of Jericho for 7 days. Simple instruction, just blow the trumpet, march around for 7 days, and then the wall will come down. It looked stupid. You have to be humble and be willing to follow instruction, irrespective of what other people may say or think. Which brings me to my next point. God always rewards faith. Two scriptures I will leave. Mark 11:24. He says, whatsoever you desire, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. And Matthew 21:22 says, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask in prayer. So if you believe and you move and you act upon that belief or that faith, God will reward it. Because that is what moves God. Faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Naaman had leprosy. We find that in 2 Kings chapter 5. He was an excellent military man to the king. But that never mattered to God. All of us are equal at the cross. God will treat the man who is president the same way he treats the man who sweeps the street. And so Naaman had to follow simple instructions to go dip in Jordan 7 times if he really needed to be healed of his leprosy. And that is it. How willing are you to move in faith and to follow simple instructions, even if it doesn't make sense? So to recap, how bad do you need what you need? Do not be discouraged and deterred by the mountain. Chisel it piece by piece, because that's exactly what I did. I looked what I had control over and I checkmarked against it. You will not see the entire picture before you, but do not worry. God will open up ways for you as you go along. Be willing to follow simple instructions. And we know Hebrews 11 says, it is impossible without faith to please God. So God is pleased when we move in faith because we know what we know. He will not allow you to drown. He will not allow the fire to burn you. Get to know who He is, what He's like through the Word. God bless you. Thank you for listening to this episode of Reflections. Join me next week for another episode. Until then, stay blessed.